From WFSU Public Media, you're listening to Voices That Inspire.
Hello, I'm Rick Burnett. I'm Associate Vice President for Metrics, Analytics, and Strategic Planning here at Florida State University.
So what does that mean?
It means that I'm the data guy for the university. I have the responsibility as the institutional data administrator for being the official arbiter of data that goes out to the public, and I help to empower people on campus accessing data that will help them make strategic decisions.
And I hear that there was some data that just recently came out that might have been sort of positive.
Right. We consider rankings to be data, and the great announcement this past week was that Florida State University had raised up to number 18 in the U.S. News rankings of public universities in the United States, and it was a great accomplishment for us, and we were very pleased to have gotten there.
So how do you begin? You've been doing this for a while. From what you told me, you got your PhD at FSU and stayed, right?
Yes, I did.
Will you just tell me a little bit about that?
I came here 32 years ago to get a PhD in educational psychology, learning and cognition, and was working my way through school. And I always thought I was going to become a professor, but I just found that there are exciting things at work. And I've since made a 30-year career out of moving to the void, finding the next most interesting thing, researching it, and figuring out how it affects FSU.
So what are the kinds of things you look for? Like, what are the data points you're looking at?
In this case, when we're talking about U.S. News, there's a specific set of metrics that we're following. Each one is weighted in a unique way, and all the universities in the nation are assessed based upon those metrics. And so we break down each metric and recognize what we can do to affect each one and how they affect the life of our students and our faculty here at Florida State.
And how many people does it take to track all that data?
The tracking is probably limited to mostly the people in our institutional research office. And at any given point in time, we have probably four or five people who dabble with certain metrics. Not all of them are working with every single one necessarily.
Well, what do you like about this work?
I found a long time ago that a lot of people are intimidated by data. My first job teaching was teaching nurses statistics as they were moving from an RN degree to a BSN. And so they'd been out of school, many of them, for 30 years. And the whole impetus of what I was trying to do was to make them not scared of numbers. And so I think that for me to be the person who speaks data and can paint those pictures in a way that is understandable by a large population is really the challenge of my job. I tell the institutional research staff, and I have many times, you don't want to report what the statistical value was or why you chose one statistic versus another. That's meaningless. You have to paint a picture of what the data mean and what the opportunities are around those data.
So with that in mind, how did you, knowing that this goal, you started to talk to me a little bit about when FSU and UF were sort of positioning themselves for preeminence. And through that then, with a real goal in mind of getting into a top 25 for FSU, when that decision was made, what were you set up then to do with that data? How did you change what you were looking for then, or how did that impact you?
So about 10 years ago, I moved into institutional research and had been tracking the U.S. News data. And we'd moved a couple points on different years, but never really saw it as an institutional imperative to move those numbers. In 2013, when the preeminent status was established, the contract that was made between the Board of Governors and the legislature and Florida State University was, we will give you additional dollars to be a preeminent university, to help you become a preeminent university. But the return on that, the way we'll know that we got there, is for you to get into the top 25. Considering that we'd been in the 40s for each of the previous 5 years, it was a very daunting task. It was really unrealistic from many people's perspectives, including my own. And what we did, though, is we took the challenge and we said, let's go ahead and identify groups to address each individual metric and find out strategically what we can do to move those metrics. But it's more than that, because we don't want to do that without in a way that would affect the quality of the education that we have here. So we want to be conscious. We want to be conscious of our students. We want to be conscious of our faculty and their contributions. And so it worked out really well, because we've had this 20-year effort on student success, where we're one of the national leaders on student success. And so we were already making moves to improve our graduation rates, to improve our retention, to change the delivery of instruction in the classroom, to engage our faculty and get more faculty. And so all these things kind of came together in a perfect storm, in a manner of speaking, in a positive way. And right after this happened, President Thrasher came on, Sally McCrory came in, and it became an institutional imperative to do this. And so I was then empowered to go ahead and move forward and really report on the efforts of so many people on campus who allowed this to happen.
And share what I loved of what you said earlier is how you use that data to empower people to have that impact, that change, the ones who are touching the students' lives or, you know, making sure more students graduate, of how you sort of empower those professors to move the needle in a way that doesn't feel so overwhelming to them.
Right. So I referenced earlier that data intimidate a lot of people. And when we were starting our enrollment management and student success efforts, one of the key people there was an English professor. And she said, "Rick, I know you're great with all these statistics, but you know, tell me what it means to me." And I said, "Well, here's very simply. If we bring in 6,000 freshmen, if you can save 60 freshmen, then our retention rate goes up by 1 percentage point. But let's look a little closer. If you save 6, it moves up a tenth, and maybe that tenth is just enough to make us round up to the next percent." And so for that group of 20 different offices that were meeting every 2 weeks to talk about student success, it then became an opportunity for them to say, "Can you find 6 people?" So then it allowed the community to recognize that it didn't require some great lift for each person to have some type of contribution. If you can find 6 people, identify them, and find some intervention to make their experience better, then you are helping the university.
In all those different metrics you're looking at, was there one or a couple that really jumped more than others in this last go-round, like some areas that, whoa, kind of really even surprised you?
The strength of our progression as far as U.S. News has been based upon our student success numbers. And so a huge percentage of weighting goes towards student graduation rates of students who are on Pell Grants. Those are students who are lower socioeconomic students, and they make about a third of our population. And there's also a special measure where they say, they take the data of everybody who enrolled 6 years ago, and they said, based upon our statistical calculation, this many students should graduate. They said 70. We graduated 83. That 13 percentage point difference was huge. In fact, there were only 5 schools that had a higher rate than that in the polls, and so that helped us out in the rankings dramatically. Our 4-year graduation rate of 72% is a great point of honor on campus. That too is in the top 10 nationally. The other one is that we invested last fall of 18, in 125 new faculty lines, new faculty hires. And the intent there was many-fold intent, but the primary intent was to allow smaller classes where we could start doing some of these experiential learning activities, making the learning come to life in the classroom. And it really unleashed our faculty and allowed them to teach in a way they wanted to teach, but it also improved the average class size. And so class size metric is one of the ones that moved dramatically this year, particularly our classes under 20 students.
And for such a big university to have that many classes that are that small ratio between faculty to student is impressive.
Well, it's over 50% now that are 20 students or less, or less than 20 students.
I bet you there's a lot of alums who might hear that and go, "Whoa, wasn't that way when I was there?"
Well, and we still have large classes. And the question is, what is the appropriate class size for what you're trying to teach? And so I think it's obvious to say, well, the smaller the better. But there's some courses that can be taught in a larger environment. But other courses really need to be taught to very small classes. And so, you know, for example, for years we've taught English classes with 20, 25 students per class because the professor needs to read all the essays. And it takes so much time to do that. So if you had hundreds of students in that class, it would be impossible. But an introductory course in another discipline may be a good candidate for having a larger class.
Yeah, absolutely. So you seem to have a particular appreciation for this work. I mean, it sounds like this is really meaningful work to you. And how did that come about? How do you feel? I get when I'm listening to you a real ownership of this data, this information, where FSU has gone as an institution. Where does that come from?
I frequently say when we ask around the table, "How long have you been here?" I say, "Well, I've been at Florida State for 32 years most recently." but I originally lived on campus in 1960. Now, for those of you who know, I was about 4 months old, and my father got a doctorate in the same department that I did. And so there is some pride there. And there's the people I work with. I mean, this is an institution that for a long time has been underappreciated nationally. And I think that we're getting our welcome acknowledgement of what we have here. This is an institution that's focused very dramatically on creating a strong educational environment, particularly for undergraduate students, but also at the same time having that research one emphasis on research and creative activities that really makes a national university a national university. So from my perspective, if I have the ability to find a way to get people to use data to be more strategic and to get there faster, then that's what I want to do. When I moved to institutional research 10 years ago, I went into the interview, and it was an office that was exclusively focused on compliance reporting to the feds and to the state. And I walked in there, and I told my future boss, I appreciate what you're doing here, but you're sitting on a treasure trove of data. Let's turn around and face the campus and empower them with data so they can make more meaningful decisions and make a better experience for our students and our faculty.
What inspires you?
I'm inspired by people who commit to a meaningful cause, in this case, the education of young people. And Florida State University is a destination university. Students are coming here to learn and have a full comprehensive campus experience. And I just appreciate all the people who are here who are working day in and day out to make sure that happens.
Who inspires you?
Oh, that's a dangerous question. I don't know who inspires me. I don't think it is interesting because I don't believe in hero worship. I don't feel that I'm any different than any other person. And likewise, I don't think that, you know, any other person is different. So I find that I'm actually inspired by all people. I get inspiration from the person who's working for Building and Grounds, and I get inspiration from the faculty, colleagues, students, everywhere. And so it's just a matter, it's almost a data-centered approach. It's I pull the nuggets of data from all sources I meet, and kind of my job, I think, is to compose that into something that's meaningful.
I'm thinking of you. People think data guy, you know, number cruncher, not emotional, but like, I can feel that you kind of bleed a little garnet and gold. And are there times when you're walking across that campus that you feel completely like loving what you're doing?
I absolutely love what I'm doing. What I didn't say is I also worked in admissions for many years. And those are the people who go out and represent the university. And if you want to represent something, the best way to do it is to have pride in it and to actually believe in it. And I've always been there. And ironically, you said that about bleeding garnet and gold. When we got to number 18 on the U.S. News public rankings, my wife posted, and the end of the post was, for a guy who bleeds garnet and gold.
Well, anything else you'd like to add, Rick? It's been great conversation.
I think that's it. I'm Rick Burnett, and I'm just happy to be here, and I'm glad to be representing Florida State, the number 18 public university in the United States.
You're listening to Voices That Inspire.